Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, welcome again to Blog Talk Radio's New Beginnings Ministries radio program. The name of our ministry again is New Beginnings Ministry at 7 o'clock, and today is Wednesday, December 5th. We're here today with a guest speaker. Our guest speaker this evening is Minister David Reese, and I will introduce him shortly. If you're listening on the radio, if you're listening by computer, please share this broadcast with your friends. You can Facebook us, you can Twitter us, and you can contact us on our website. That's New Beginnings Ministries, but we have a website also. The phone number here is 347-237-4054, and we welcome you to our broadcast this evening. I'm Dr. Suzanne. Usually Brother Norm is here with me, or Brother John, and neither one of them are here with me this evening in the physical sense, but they are here in spirit. And we are broadcasting live across the airways and connecting with friends and family in Indiana this evening. Let's pray first. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this broadcast. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that will go forth this evening, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to just bless it, to bless our efforts, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every household, Father God, that hears this word, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to let this word fall on fertile soil, Father God, and that those that listen to it, Father God, it would increase their curiosity and their desire, Father God, to be closer and more intimate with you. We praise your name, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to just take this meeting over. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'd like to introduce Minister David Reese. David Reese is coming to us from Mishawaka, Indiana, and that is in the South Bend area of the northern part of Indiana. Brother Reese, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good, good. He is married to Alicia, and they reside, as I said, in Mishawaka, Indiana, in the South Bend area. They serve in ministry there under Apostle Sam and Apostle Denise Chase, and are involved in the ministry Kingdom Power Ministries International. Minister David Reese is a preacher. He is a teacher. He operates in the prophetic, and he is a powerful prayer warrior. He intercedes for those in need, and you'll hear him. You'll hear it in his voice, and I ask that you are prepared for his lesson, the lesson that he has for us this evening. Minister Reese?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm turning the mic and the program over to you. I'm ready to learn.
All right. Amen. First of all, we want to go to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 30 through verse number 37. Again, Luke chapter number 10, beginning at verse 30 through verse number 37. We're going to be teaching from the subject, Go Do It. Again, we're teaching from the subject, Go Do It. Amen.
Amen. Could you say the subject one more time?
We're teaching from the subject, Go Do It.
Go Do It. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Number 10, beginning at verse number 30 through verse 37.
Okay.
All right. And let's head into the word. And it says in verse number 30, Jesus up replied, a certain man, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, a certain man was going from Jerusalem down to Jerusalem, and he fell among robbers who stripped him of his clothes and his belongings and beat him and went their way unconcernedly, leaving him half dead. As it had happened, now by coincidence, a certain priest was going down along that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Verse 32, I likewise came down to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side of the road. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, came down to where he was. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity and sympathy for him. Verse 34, and he went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I myself will repay when I return. Which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to him who had fell among the robbers? Verse 37, and he answered, the one who showed pity and mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Key verse, verse 37, and he answered, the one who showed pity and mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Oftentimes we go through things in life and we don't understand why. We fall into places sometimes at the wrong time, and we end up in a state where we're left feeling half dead, or we're feeling half empty, as if we're worn out or we're exhausted or we're tired. But there is one person that sees the struggle that we're in, and they come by and they give us that word that we need to keep us pressing forward. They come by and they lend an ear to listen when we have to vent our frustrations.
Amen.
They take the time out to pray for us when we can't pray for ourselves, when we can't find the words to say. They'll pray for us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about anybody else on the call, but I'm grateful to the ones that seen my wounds, and they decided to pour some oil and some wine in them and take care of me and pray for me, because I couldn't pray at the time for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being in a place where we feel like we don't have an exit, we don't have any hope. This man who was left half dead, he laid there with wounds bleeding, life fading, and he had no one to call on because he couldn't utter words.
Mm-hmm.
The priest who's supposed to have compassion, who is called of God, who goes before the face of God on a regular basis, passed him by. The Levite passed him by. But one man came along who was the Samaritan. And he said, I can't leave him. This is what I believe in my imagination. He said, I can't leave him laying here bleeding all over the road. I've got to get him some help. So I'll use what I have. He took the oil and he took the wine and he poured it in his wounds. And then he sat him on his own beast, which means he was walking beside the beast to make sure that this man didn't fall off, because he was in a state where he didn't have any consciousness. He didn't know what the day was. He didn't know the time of day. He didn't know how bad his injuries were. He was not cognizant of what was happening. But someone else had enough sense to take him to a place where he could recover. It took him to the end where he could recover, where he could cease from some pain, where he could just lay down and get some rest. Have you ever been in a state where you felt like you just couldn't get no rest?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you did, no matter how much you prayed, it seemed like things just kept coming, and one after another, it was another blow after another, and each way you turned, it seemed like there was another fist coming or another knife coming. See, this Samaritan here, who some in church cliche like to call the good Samaritan, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says here that it was a certain Samaritan. He doesn't even have a name. He doesn't have any physical stature. They just call him a Samaritan. Someone who has compassion enough on someone else to say, I'll give you a hand when you can't stand
mm-hmm.
up on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you
mm-hmm.
a shoulder to cry on when you're going through the struggles of life.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the evidence of who we are, the fruit of the Spirit. One of those fruit is not just love. It's not just joy or peace. Temperance. It's gentleness. And I believe this man was gentle enough to take this man in his beaten state and get him to a place where he could recover of his wounds. He took him to the emergency room, if you will. He took him there so he could recover. He could start to feel better, so he could start to gain some strength back. He could start to use his feet again. He could start to use his hands again, and he didn't feel so helpless.
Amen.
I've been there in a place where we feel like I don't have a way out. I'm helpless. I'm in a standstill, if you will. But God sent somebody by to say, you don't have to stand here forever. You don't have to stand here feeling like this is the only place that God has for you. There is more that God is calling you to do. There's more that God has put in you that he needs you to get out to others. Have you ever been in a place where it seemed like nobody was listening to your cry? You were crying out. You know, all the friends that used to call you with all of their problems and talk about how they're going through this and I'm going through that and I just don't know what I'm going to do. And they pour all of their garbage on you. But when it's time for you to unload and you need to get rid of some stuff that you're dealing with, you can't seem to find anybody. No one wants to answer the phone. No one answers a text message, an email, a direct message on Twitter. You can't Facebook them. You can't find them when you're in need. But the old song says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. We can take everything that we're dealing with to God. And when we can't utter a word, God will send someone into our life that can pray us through. God, I feel that right there. When I'm in a place where I can't go to God for myself, there's somebody else that can go to bat for me. Because I might be a little too weak in one area, strong in others, but I'm weak in this one area, and God sends someone that's strong enough to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's what the scripture says, that the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. When we see people in need, good God Almighty, when we see people in need, how do we know to help? The parable that God is letting us know through the Samaritan story here provides us some valuable insight. Okay? It is necessary for us to draw near to people who are in difficulty to be able to offer comfort and assess their needs or diagnose what's going on.
Amen. Amen.
Second, we must be aware that we may not be able to meet all of their needs. We may not be able to do everything on the list, but there are some needs that we can meet. But we can pray to God, and we can ask him to give us direction so that we can see the needs of those around us. If we look around in our circle of friends, we will find some people that are hurting right now. They hide it behind their smile. They hide it behind their praise. They hide it behind their worship. But when they get home and they're in that place all by themselves, they're bleeding. Worshiping but bleeding. Praying but bleeding. Interceding but bleeding.
Yeah, yeah.
With no one to pour oil or wine into their wounds.
Yeah.
And so, if we look at this Samaritan, me, in my spiritual imagination, I imagine that he said, now two other men passed by. Why didn't either one of them help? Why did they pass him by? Does he have a disease? Is there something wrong with him?
Yeah.
Other than the fact that he's bruised and he's battered and he's beaten and he's bloody, what else could be wrong with him? The priest passed him by. The priest is supposed to be the one that accepts all of us, and he helps us through the struggles that we're having from day to day. But even the priest passed him by. The priest said, I got more important things to do. I got to get to the church. I got a Bible study I have to teach. I don't have time to stop now. But our first calling in ministry is to be a servant.
Amen.
To serve those who are in need. So my question is, how many people have we passed by that we could have helped, that we could have given that word to, that would have helped them through their situation or through their struggle, that could have propelled them into their future, into their destiny? But because we didn't like the clothes they wear, or we didn't think they would receive what we had to say.
Okay.
We didn't say nothing.
That's right.
You know, my grandmother used to say, a closed mouth never gets fed. So how can you expect anything to happen if you never say anything? But if I'm in a state where I cannot talk, I cannot relate what I'm feeling right now, if you are tapped into God as you say you are, you ought to be able to seek the face of God, and he will reveal to you that I'm in need, that I need some help right here. I don't know how to verbalize the fact that I need help, because I'm so used to doing things on my own, and I don't want to seem as if I'm weak, so I don't tell anybody about my struggle. Because I don't want anyone to look at me differently. I don't want them to think that all the letters behind my name still does not mean that I'm not struggling with something. Just because I went to school and I got my PhD and I learned to be able to teach and to instruct others, but I'm still struggling. So half of me is still dead. Good God Almighty. So I'm half dead, and I'm trying to help someone else who's fully alive. And I haven't gotten myself together to the point where I can recognize that I need help, and I seek it out.
Amen.
All of us have been like this man who doesn't have a name, who fell among thieves, among robbers. That's what the King James says. He fell among them. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But God used the circumstance through this parable to get glory. Some of us who say that we have this calling upon our lives, and no one can negate the fact that we're not called, because the Bible says the gifts and callings come without repentance. But you ought to look like your calling. The characteristics of you ought to show your calling.
Amen.
My spiritual father, Apostle Sam Chase, he said, you cannot righteousnize unrighteousness. You can't activate righteousness in an unrighteous situation.
Oh.
So we can't make our circumstance good when it's bad. God knows my heart. That cliche is over and done with. God knows the heart. God knows the very intent of your heart, and he knows that you haven't decided to make the change yet. So now you're still limping, still bleeding, still one side of you, one portion of you, one half of you is still dead. Come on here, somebody. But we believe that God is going to fix my problem. He's going to fix me because I cast out demons in his name. I led thousands to the ministry in his name. I led them to the kingdom in his name. But you never get that thing right.
Mm-hmm.
You never get that issue right that you had.
All right.
You never severed the soul tie that you had.
All right.
Trying to make unrighteousness righteous. Half dead. But the Samaritan hasn't come by. Someone else hasn't come by and given you that word that you need that will propel you into your destiny. The simple text of tonight's broadcast or tonight's word is simply this: go do it. Don't sit around and twiddle your thumbs and try to figure out how you're going to do it. Just do it. Be like Nike. Just do it. Don't try to analyze everything. Don't try to figure out everything. The problem with us in the body of Christ, Dr. Suzanne, is that we try to analyze everything. We try to figure out everything, plan every single thing down to the very last detail, when God can send a wind that changes everything.
Amen.
And he uses our situations to make us strong.
Amen.
He uses our situations to increase our faith. So we cry out to God, Lord, I'm suffering. I can't handle this no more. Forgetting the fact that God will never put more on us than we can bear.
Amen.
Philippians teaches us this. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. It says, and being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So no matter what struggle we have, God has put a work in us, and he desires a return on his deposit.
Amen.
Good God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not a one-sided teacher. I need y'all to talk to me. Is there anybody else that has any questions? Is there anything that you need to know? Is there anything that you want to say?
No questions yet.
Bless but God. This is blessing me.
You're blessing me.
You
want to bless me?
Good God Almighty, we use our struggle and we make it a badge of honor. This is what the Lord brought me through. That's good. Now go help somebody else get through it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Help that next young lady get out of an abusive relationship. Tell someone else, tell some young man how to be healed of when some older man touched him in the wrong place.
All right, all right.
Tell him how to get free and be fully free and don't have to worry about any lingering effects. Come on, somebody.
All right.
We don't need any residue. We need a reaction. Good God Almighty. The anointing that's in us ought to cause a reaction in the atmosphere.
That's right. Amen.
When we pray, there ought to be some manifestation. We can't just keep coming to God and keep expecting him to be gentle when God is saying, I have already given you the keys to do everything that you need to do. I've already given you purpose. I've given you destiny. Not only that, I gave you three spirits, power, love, and a sound mind. So that means the enemy can't even use your mind against you anymore. Because Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 says this. No, let's go to verse 1. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least that you can do. Verse number 2, this is what it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may show forth what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So you don't have to stay in the state you're in, because God has already given you a way of escape. I'm sorry. He's already given you a way of escape, so why do you stay bound in an open prison? Why would you stay half dead in a hospital where they can stitch you together?
Yeah.
You'd rather be wounded than to be whole. Good God Almighty. Because I need to show people what I went through and tell them how God blessed me. Okay, you don't have to wear what you went through as your badge of honor. Take off those garments and put on the garment that God told you to wear, which was the garment of praise.
Amen.
Okay, you've been on drugs, you've been molested, you've had some things to go on in your life, but God has given you a brand new garment. He has changed your clothes, so now you can praise him. You can worship him with clean hands. You don't have to keep talking about what you used to do, how you used to be stuck, and how you used to feel like nothing else was ever going to happen, and how it seemed like the ceiling just kept getting lower on you. The devil is a liar. God has given you the authority to speak to your situation. If that were not true, the book of Luke chapter number wouldn't even exist, where he tells, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. So what mountain are you looking at that you can't climb?
Amen.
And it's making you feel that.
Amen.
Good God.
You may have a question here.
Oh,
from
sure.
Area code 216, do you have a question?
No, I'm just tuning in. Praise the Lord. I'm just tuning in.
Praise the Lord. Well, welcome.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you want to add anything or make a comment?
I really didn't hear what was said. I just tuned in moment and... I'm just listening and, you know, just being fed.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Listeners, again, this is Blog Talk Radio. We're New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Our phone number is 347-237-4054. And you can find us on Facebook at New Beginnings Ministry or on Blog Talk Radio or even Twitter. And we have our website, New Beginnings Ministry Incorporated. Thank you. Minister Reeves, would you please continue?
Yes, ma'am. I have a question for the class, since this is what we do. Have you ever been in a place where it felt like nothing was working? You couldn't get a prayer through. You couldn't get in touch with nobody to get a prayer through. And it felt like there was a glass ceiling above you, and you were encased in glass. Have you ever felt like that? Am I the only one that has ever felt that way?
Oh, sure, sure. Especially when I was younger, I would describe it like that, or I would say something I used to say when I was very young was that the Lord must be somewhere over Toledo because he's not paying attention to me. But, of course, I know that that's not true. And like I always say, you know, check God's resume out. He's been so faithful to me that, you know, that as I mature chronologically and spiritually, I know to just be still and wait. But, oh, yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying, for sure.
See, our base scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter number 10, verse 30 through 37, for those that are just joining us, praise God. And this Samaritan man, who has no connection with this man who fell among thieves, has enough compassion on him, good God Almighty, to pour oil and wine in his wounds, to release some pain, some frustration from him. Not only that, he takes him and he puts him on his beast, and he takes him to an inn. He takes him to the recovery room where he can recover, where he can be made whole. Now, we have some people in our lives that come and they're there right on the spot. Whenever something happens, they're right there on the spot, and they say, you can make it. I don't care what you're dealing with right now. You can make it. You don't have to die here. You don't have to be frustrated in this place. God is teaching you something through here. That's a Samaritan that came along to bind up your wounds so that you can heal. See, being broken, being battered, being abused,
mm-hmm.
hurt, full of pain,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
of a bad relationship or a bad decision on the job, because we made the wrong move at the wrong time, and that we're frustrated with ourselves. So we take our frustration out on others. And God has to send someone along to say, it's not as bad as it looks. You don't have to feel the effects of your wounds the rest of your life.
That's right. That's right.
Why? Because God has given us some salve to put on us. He's given us some medicine to put on us so it can start to heal. Yeah, the scab forms to protect that skin that's underneath. It may not look good, but it's there to protect what's underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And once it heals, it falls off. Some of us are still walking around with scabs because we keep picking them off.
Mm.
And we won't let it fully heal.
Mm.
There's a person listening to this broadcast right now that is going through a trying situation, and it feels as if the walls are closing in on them. I come to speak to you tonight to tell you that the walls are not closing in. God is going to use those walls just like he did for the children of Israel in the city of Jericho. He's going to cause them to fall down flat. I don't care what the bill collectors are telling you. I don't care what the doctor has said. Your God that you serve is greater than your circumstance.
Amen.
If that was not true, why would this parable even exist? God uses this parable to teach this man. Jesus uses this parable to teach this man because he asked him a question. Well, who's my neighbor? You told me to love. That's what I heard growing up, that I was supposed to love my mother, my father, all my family, and to love God and to love my neighbor as myself. And he asked him, well, who's my neighbor? Now, it's not always the person you see every day. It's the person you see in the grocery store struggling with three kids that want to act crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the person at the bank trying to get a loan to pay off a house. And they're in the middle of a crisis. Can I get a witness here?
Amen.
That's your neighbor. You don't have to give them no money because that may not be the thing that they need. What they need is a word that empowers them. Because I can give you money, and that can last for a day. But I can give you a word that will cause you to live and not die.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can hold on to that. You can say, no, I don't have to accept just anything. God made me a promise that he would never leave me nor forsake me, so I don't have to die here because this is not my burial ground.
Amen.
I still have purpose. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
There's purpose left in me. I have the residue of God in me, the anointing of God that breaks and destroys the yokes. So why should I let the enemy cause my mind to go every which way but loose? Can I get a witness? I don't have to feel like this is the place I have to stay. Why should I sit in prison when I'm free?
Amen.
Why should I stay in a relationship I can walk away from because it don't mean me no good? I know that's not good English, but it don't mean me no good at all. It's not helping me. It's doing more to hurt me. Why should I stay half dead when God gives me life?
Oh, amen.
He promised me life, not just life, but he promised me life more abundantly. John, the 10th chapter, and the 10th verse says it this way, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come. This is what Jesus is saying personally. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that word it means something tangible. Can I get a witness? It makes
Amen.
It tangible.
Amen.
So I shouldn't have to feel as if I got to be broke all the time. Because I'm not broke, I'm in between blessings.
Amen.
I may not have all the money that I want to have, but I have just enough to do what I need.
Amen.
The scripture says that God will, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And what I can't do for myself, God will send someone to help me get through. Come on, somebody. This is what happened with this man here in the text tonight. He was in a place and didn't expect anything to happen. He was just doing what he does. He was on his way somewhere, and along came the thieves. But what the John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse we just read, we just talked about it, how the thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. And what did they do? They stripped him. They tried, so they thought they succeeded in killing him.
Amen. That's right.
Just because you thought I was dead didn't mean I was. Just because you thought you leaving me and making me feel bad, because you thought I wasn't a good enough friend or I wasn't a good enough spouse, didn't mean I had to die because you walked away.
Hmm. Amen.
Because God still has more in me. This is why this man was left half dead and not completely.
Hmm.
Travel with me just for a moment. I want to have a conversation with this man who has no name, this man who has no identification. We cannot find his state ID. We cannot find his birth certificate or his social security number, but I just want to have a conversation with him real quick. Can you tell me, sir, what caused you to be in a place that you shouldn't have been? Well, I was just walking along the road. I didn't know that anything was going to happen. I didn't know I was in the wrong side of town. I didn't know that these folk was going to come out of nowhere and attack me. I was just on my way to do what I do. I wasn't bothering nobody. But they decided to attack me. How many people have been like that where the enemy just blindsided you? He came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, all you knew is that your win was knocked out of you. But the God that we serve gives a second win.
Man.
Father, I'm trying to hold my composure here. This thing is blessing me. It's blessing me. The deeper I go into it, the more it blesses me. because I remember being in this state, being homeless, come on, with no job and nowhere to turn, but God still provided for me.
Amen.
He still kept me. He still healed me. The doctor said I'd never be normal because I was born with a condition. They gave my mother a diagnosis, my grandmother as well, a diagnosis that by the age of 5 I'd be a human vegetable, mentally retarded or dead, and I am neither of the three.
Amen.
Because if it be the Lord's will, on February the 19th of 2013, I will turn 29 years of age.
Praise the Lord.
So what they thought was a half-dead situation, God breathed, he breathed life on it. Somebody else needs to hear that God is still breathing life into you. I know it hurt. I know it feels bad. I know it feels like you failed. But God uses those failures to teach you patience, because what's getting ready to happen over the next horizon is going to bless you so. It's going to be like the windows of heaven opening up before you and pouring you out a blessing, like the book of Malachi chapter 3 talks about. So many that you won't have room enough to receive it. You'll just have to start giving it away. And every time you give it, he's going to give you some more. Can I get a witness here?
Oh, amen. Amen.
God, I feel the prophetic anointing. God, I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. I'm trying to stay in my teaching mode, but I feel the anointing rising up. I feel it falling on me now. Here we go. Back into the parable here. Verse 35. This is a good part right here. It says, and the next day, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, Luke chapter 10, verse number 35. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages. So he took 2 days' pay, 2 days' pay of his own money to take care of someone who was left in a state where they couldn't defend themselves.
Mm.
And he gave it to the innkeeper. He said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I myself will repay when I return. So he said, I'm going to leave you a tab. Whatever he needs, do it. And I'll repay when I get back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God is saying that no matter how you feel, I already paid the cost. The tab is already paid for. But he said, just to give you some more insight on it, he says to the innkeeper, and thinking in my own imagination, my own spiritual imagination, he has to look at this man and see that his wounds are somewhat healing. So he says, okay, I know this brother here still has some more days left before he fully heals, where he can function the way he needs to. So mm-hmm. Let me get him to a place where he can get some rest, where he can recuperate, and he can receive strength. The title or the text of tonight's topic is Go Do It. You don't have to sit still and wait for somebody to be broke, busted, and disgusted. If God is unctioning your spirit to go do something for someone, just do it. Be like Nike. Just do it. Don't let your fear, because God didn't give you that spirit. Don't let your insecurity, because God didn't give you that spirit.
Amen.
Don't let your mind cause you not to do what God is unctioning you to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If God is saying for you to sow a seed in the new beginning, don't miss your blessing.
Amen.
Because you say, well, they've got everything they need so far. They what can my few little dollars do? When you sow that seed, God is going to open up the windows of heaven for you. God, I wish y'all could see this the way I'm teaching it here. I wish somebody else felt this the way I do. Okay, let's go to the book of Galatians. It's the book of Galatians. Chapter number 5. We're going to talk about the fruit real fast. And I'm still reading from the Amplified Version. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. Does someone have the King James Version? Can you read that verse for me, please?
The King James Version says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
There's no law, so that means no one can make you not do what is in you.
Amen.
And we are Christians, so we possess these fruits. If we have the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside of us, this is evidence. It's not just speaking in tongues. That's one of the cases of evidence of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost dwelling within you. But there ought to be some work with it. There ought to be some fruit that come behind it. You ought to be happier.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to have some patience with folks.
Right. The Lord wants us to walk in the Spirit. If you're in leadership even just leading in your home or in the workplace, to lead in the Spirit by your behavior, the way we carry ourselves, and to live in the Spirit. And if you're living in the Spirit, if you're living with the fruit of the Spirit, there should be glory. There should be glory coming from you. There should be those that are not saved and those around you, our neighbors, should be able to know, without you carrying the big Bible, without you carrying the giant cross on your shoulder, but that you're of the Spirit, that the Spirit dwells within you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They should know the God that you serve because they see him in you.
Amen. Amen.
When the enemy comes, I'm not saying you're going to sing and dance when the enemy comes to attack you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that you ought to be able to see him afar off. Okay, no, Satan, no, you can't come at me with that. We've been there, we've done that. I bought the T-shirt, the hat, and the video game, so you can take that back.
Amen.
And bring me something else.
Amen.
Because my fruit, the fruit that lie in me, it's going to tell me, David, the enemy was coming. He's coming with some low self-esteem because you used to struggle with that. You used to be insecure about the way you talk. You used to not want to preach in front of people. So the enemy's going to try to come and try you in that. No, Satan, go back to where you came. Been there, done that. I've walked over that mountain. I moved it out of my way, and now I'm on to greener pastures and on to my destiny. Have mercy, God. I wish you all could see it the way I'm seeing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, any comments?
Questions or comments?
Hallelujah.
Let's keep preaching.
Good God Almighty.
You're such a good teacher. You're such a good teacher. And then to be so young and have such wisdom. Keep teaching, please.
Let's go Old Testament, because I know I have some Bible scholars on the phone. So let's go to the Old Testament real quick. Proverbs chapter number 3. Let's go there real quick. Proverbs chapter number 3. The Holy Spirit just dropped this on me real quick, so let's go there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 5, 6, and 7. Praise God. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5, the Amplified Version, it says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding." Verse number 6, "In all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your path." So that means that your path has no reason to continue to be crooked. You don't have to keep dealing in confusion. You don't have to keep dealing there, because God never desired for you to dwell there. Good God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
There's still more. There's still more in you. There's still more purpose in you. There's still more destiny in you. So he's going to make your path straight. Verse number 7, I like this verse. It says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil." When you get into that place of worship, your attention, your focus ought to be, "Oh God, I'm not coming asking for nothing. I just want to thank you because you keep on making ways for me. You keep doing great things. And I know I haven't been that good. I know I haven't done everything you said, but God, you keep being good to me. You keep on making a way out of no way for me. You keep making my path straight, God. You keep making sure that the bank does not harass me. You keep making sure that my supervisor act right on my job, God. And I just want to get into this place and say thank you." How many of us worship him like we ought to? How many of us take the time just to get in his presence and tell him, "Thank you, thank you. I don't want to ask you for nothing. I just want to say thank you."
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
I just want to say thank you. I praise God for the leaders that I have, and they teach us the word on a regular basis, and it is so important that we stay in the word of God so that we don't go to the places that the enemy is trying to take us into, and we lose sight of our purpose. We lose sight of our destiny. God has told us tonight not to look at what we see, but to just go do it.
Just
Isaiah.
Do it.
Isaiah 54:17. Good God Almighty, I feel this here. 54:17. Yeah, I'm an Old Testament preacher. I'm sorry. Verse 17, it says, "But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper."
Amen.
"And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you," not God, wait a minute, I want you to hear this real clear, "you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace Righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servant of the Lord.
Amen.
Those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. Good God Almighty. You ought to act like your leadership sometime. You ought to have some characteristics that represent your leadership, because that fruit has been, the seed has been sown into you, and there ought to be some reproduction going on.
Amen.
The verse continues on to say, this is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So if we look at Isaiah 54 and 17, and we go back to Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30 through 37, Isaiah 54 and 17 is right there. Because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. It didn't say it wasn't formed. Okay, he got beat up. He got bruised. He got battered. He was bloodied, but he didn't die because the weapon couldn't kill him. Because he had purpose. He was called of God. God had to use him in that parable for somebody to understand that no matter how bad I feel or how bad my life seems, there is still someone out there that cares enough for me to send somebody along to help me to bind up my wounds.
Amen.
And to make me feel that I'm able to stand up. And I don't have to be wounded forever. I don't have to feel like this is my destiny. My destiny is not to die. My destiny is not to stay here wounded, bruised, and feeling as if I don't have any purpose anymore. That's not my destiny. And I want to talk to some leader right now. The ministry that God has given to you, it is still in you. There is still purpose left in it. Don't give up on the gift or the promise that he made you. Walk in it. Go do it. Go do it. Don't let the enemy distract you. Don't let him deceive you into believing that you got to stay where you are. You have to just stay broken. That wasn't his plan. That's not his plan for your life, that you stay broken. God desires that you be full, not just full of faith, but full of anointing and full of power. Go do it. If he told you to go to school, I don't care if you are over the age of 50, go do it. If he told you to start your own business, go do it. Because if God told you, he's going to be the one to provide for you. I'll do it.
Amen.
Whew. Good God Almighty.
Amen. Amen.
Go do it. Amen. Pursue after. Don't just go haphazardly. Don't go half-stepping. Go with some authority. Go with some anointing. Go with some force in you, with some power in you. Go do it. Matthew 28 and 19 said, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go do it. If God said it, he is going to perform it.
Amen. Amen.
Now, let me put this disclaimer on it. If God said it.
Amen.
Don't just go out there saying, well, the preacher on the Blog Talk radio broadcast told me to just go do it. If God didn't tell you to go, stay in the place where he can anoint you to go. Stay. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get full of his anointing. Full of power. Just go do it. Let him speak to you. Let him talk to you a little while. Let him deal with you for a little while. And I guarantee you, if you let him work with you, he'll make it plain before you. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 even says what it says. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. But while you're getting all of these things in order, the scripture also tells us that in all of our getting, get an understanding. Lord, have mercy. Any questions?
Amen. You know what, there's one thing I wanted to say. In your version of Luke 10:30-37, you said water and wine. This is Samaritan ship, water and wine. And I wanted to go back because there may be, I believe there's significance in the Samaritan sharing that, and that it was a Jew that he reached out to, and there was prejudice. The Jews were very prejudiced against the Samaritans. But the water in the Old Testament, I believe in the New Testament too, represents life. So whenever there's water, the living water, that he cleaned his wounds and gave, you know, that he gave him water, that's life that he gave him. He was offering him life. And the wine represents joy. So joy and like communion,
you know?
So he was sharing. So I just was wondering if that was significant. I know that in the Old Testament, water is life, wine equals represents joy, and where we see oil, that's the Holy Spirit. Am I correct?
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
So where we see where in the where the Samaritan was sharing with the Jew in Luke, it's also in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could very, very well be wrong, that it's like us as grafted in children of God, the adopted children of God, ministering to the chosen children of God, to the Jew, that we should be compassionate in the way that we deal with them. They're not knowing that they're rejecting Jesus Christ, but we know who we are, and we're secure and confident in who we are in Christ, and therefore we should extend life. We should speak life to them. We should share, allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We should. You see what I'm saying? Where I'm going with this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That we have to, in spite of not being liked, in spite of possibly being rejected or ridiculed or as such, we still have to. We still are expected to extend ourselves. To extend ourselves, and when we, especially if we see someone hurting, you know, to extend ourselves, because we're called to be compassionate, we're called to be kind, and all of us are to do that, regardless of whether you're called to ministry or not. For the broken, we're supposed to do that, and there are people all around us, like you were saying, that need to be ministered to. It's not just the folks that are laying on the street, you know. It's the person sitting next to you in the pew. It's the person driving next to you on the road. It's the person, you know, in the grocery store, like you said. The person on the other end of the phone that calls you up is representing the bank or some business. You just never know. You just never know how you can bless. My pastor said that when he goes through the line at McDonald's, that he places his order and he pays for it. And then when he gets to the window to pay for it, he pays for it. They say thank you, and he'll say, "How can I pray for you today?" And the people are shocked, you know, not knowing what to say or what to do, because no one asks this, and he'll ask them, "Let me pray for you. How should I pray for you today?" But we're supposed to be a blessing in all walks of life, and sometimes it is a shocking thing that we do as Christians, just in our everyday life, that will cause someone to sit up and notice, to sit up and question, and like I always say, spike their curiosity. Despite the curiosity of those that are pre-Christian, that are on the edge, just wanting to know, knowing that there's more out there, but they don't know how to go, how to get it, or what to do, mm-hmm. or what you call it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. See, it is so important, Dr. Clay, that you bring that up, because that water and that oil with life and the anointing, come on here, when life mm-hmm. and the anointing hits your wounds, it causes that scab mm-hmm. so that wound can heal. So he was putting life, as you said, back into him.
Mm.
He said, "I'm going to put life back into you. I know that you're half dead, but there's still life."
Ooh, hallelujah. Mm.
There's still sunlight. I wish somebody could get this like I feel it. There's still sunlight left. It may not be much, but it's enough. That if I add this anointing, and this life to you, it'll cause you to breathe. Good God Almighty, it'll cause you to breathe
Amen.
Again. It'll cause you to stand up again. God, help me.
Amen.
It'll cause you to feel again. Because when you're at that state, you can't feel anything.
Amen.
So it'll cause your fingers to be able to tingle again. It'll cause your knee to bend again. It'll cause your lips, good God Almighty, to move again. It'll cause your nostrils to take in air and your mouth to breathe out air again. He uses the anointing and the life. And not only that, he gives you joy to go along with it. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah.
Good God Almighty, he gives us not just life and the anointing, but he gives us life, he gives us the anointing, and then he gives us some joy. Yeah, he gives us some joy. He gives us some gladness. Yeah. He causes that laugh to come back. You know, the one you had when you were 20 and you were hanging out or kicking it with your friends, he causes that laugh to come back. He causes you to feel like no matter what the devil throws my way, I'm still here. He tried to kill me. He tried to destroy my purpose, but I'm still here. I might be living, but I'm still here. Yeah. Paul had to learn that thing, because when Paul had the thorn in his flesh, he prayed to God that God would remove it. But God let him know, my grace is sufficient. I put that limp in you to keep you humble. I put that on you to make sure that you remember that it's not about you, but it's about me that's in you.
Mm.
So the Jew who is God's chosen people. He chose them. But the one that they had issues with, the one that they persecuted, the one that they had prejudice on, the one that they talked about, was the only one that came by and helped him. The priest, the preacher, passed him by. I got a Bible study I got to get to. I can't stop here. The Levite, the worshiper, passed him by. I got to get the choir rehearsal. I ain't got time to stop here and help you right now. But this is your brother. How can you love God whom you have not seen? And hate your brother or despise him who you see every day? God is love. That love breathes out compassion. It breathes out peace. It breathes out patience. It produces self-control. It produces some goodness in you. When all the folk that you used to be around, all they remember is how you used to be. And when they see you now, they say, oh, well, that's still so-and-so. They're still doing the same old thing. They just changed clothes for a moment. They're going to put the same raggedy clothes back on that they had on before. No, I completely changed my entire wardrobe, so the old clothes are gone. So you won't catch me in those old clothes. You won't catch me with that old attitude. You won't catch me with that old anointing because I got something new now.
All right.
God even tells us through the book of Isaiah, he tells us that, behold, I'll do a new thing in you. I'm a break up all of that fallow ground that's in you and make it new. Because I'm going to make it usable. I'm going to make it fertile so that you can birth some things. Maybe there's a pastor on the line right now who is feeling like his ministry is failing or it's not succeeding at the rate that's in his vision. God sent me here tonight to tell you this, that the ministry will live because we, as a collective body right now, are breathing life into it. We're putting on the oil, and the water. And now we're going to give you some wine, so we're going to bring some joy back into the ministry in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen.
You don't have to feel alone anymore. You don't have to feel like God forgot about you. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. He knows the thoughts. And not only that, he has an expected end.
Amen.
He has an expected end. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 26. This is my last verse, and I'm done. I'm done. I can't speak for the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? Ooh, verse 27 is good too. It says, and who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure cubic to his stature or to the span of his life?
Praise the Lord.
God still has more for you. This word tonight was for you. This word tonight was for you. Just go do it. Don't let the enemy deceive you and rob you. Just go do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done. I open the floor to questions, comments. I'm through. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. Such a good teaching. Thank you so much. I praise the Lord for you. I praise the Lord for this word that's gone forth this evening. For everyone that listens, Father, that they would be blessed. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Minister Reese, would you like to close us in prayer?
Amen. I was just getting ready to ask if I could.
Thank you.
Father, in heaven, we call upon your peace, your grace, your mercy, your anointing right now, God, that you would seed this word into the hearts and minds and spirits of your people, God, that they can know now that they can just go do it. They don't have to figure out a way, God. They know that now they have been empowered to just go do it. Father, I pray that you would bless Dr. Suzanne and Pastor John and their ministry, God. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon them, God. For every leader that is on this radio show tonight, God, I pray that you would overflow them with a new anointing tonight, God. Give them dreams and visions for the future, God. And manifest it right before their eyes, God, as they walk before you, worthy with holy hands lifted, surrendered to your will, God. And tonight, God, we thank you for this word, this deposit that you made into us tonight. So now we've been empowered, and tonight and from this night forward, we're going to go forward and do, God, what you have destined, purposed, and called us to do. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. I pray against every spirit of backlash, retaliation, sabotage, accidents, and things on purpose. I draw the bloodline that nothing crosses it, not even death itself, unless you allow it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again for joining us this evening, Minister Reeves. Would you like to share your contact information with our listeners?
Sure. You can reach me. You can reach me on Facebook and also on Twitter. If you go to my Facebook page, it does give a link to my Twitter page. My email, you can reach me at dreese, that's D-E, that's D-R-E-E-S-E, 0228, at gmail.com. That's the most available email that I have. You can reach me if you have any questions via text message or voicemail on my cell phone, 574-300-1244. I will pray with you, pray for you, pray for me as we continue to journey on and go do it. Amen.
And what is your Facebook name again?
Facebook name is David Aaron Reese. That is my first name, D-A-V-I-D, middle name, A-A-R-O-N-R-E-E-S-E, on Facebook.
Okay, good, good. Thank you so much. And again, the ministry's name is Kingdom Power Ministries International out of Indiana. Look them up. Look up Minister Reese on Facebook also and use his contact. Share his link download the broadcast and share it with others, please. And know that we love you here at New Beginnings Ministries, and we plan on continuing this ministry and sharing with you. Pray for us as we pray for you. Thank you. We'll see you or hear from you next week. Remember that every Wednesday, 7 o'clock, same time, same station.
Amen.
To do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly abundantly above all you could.